Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to Wrestle Rock with Rick Connor.
What the F was that entire freaking promo about?
Mark Kalbacher.
She's like a James Elwood woman.
And Corey Castle.
I look like Paul London and Brian Kendrick mixed.
It's weird. I don't know. It's weird. Like all of a sudden, there's a spotlight on you. Hey, how's it going, everybody?
Hey, welcome back.
We're still quarantining Wrestle Rock. We got like two different states going on here. Corey Castle down the shore, living it up.
Yeah, I'll be down there probably Tuesday. Just
running from my troubles and such, you know. On the run.
You can't run from COVID, though. It's everywhere.
It's everywhere. It follows you.
600 cases in Pennsylvania alone.
It's nuts, man. It's not going anywhere. And that was a big news story this week in wrestling. Was how many cases of COVID are out there for WWE and AEW? I'm hearing impacted a little bit. Not no pun intended. By this
you
as well.
Intended that pun? Sure. You don't have to apologize for it.
I just stepped right over my own words. Impact was impacted. Super great journalism by me.
I heard AEW was just Moxley, and that's because of the whole WWE thing. I didn't hear anybody else.
Renee.
Yeah. Because poor Renee was exposed like everybody else was because of Vince McMahon. Yeah. My whole thing is like, do we expect anything less from Vince McMahon that he wasn't testing his people for real and just force them to go back to work? Yeah. The direction WWE's been going, for like how many months now? Do we expect anything less?
Yeah, I mean it's ridiculous. It's this is like unprecedented times that we're living in. Like what the people are saying, like, oh, it's just a flu, but it's not. It's like killing hundreds of thousands of people all over the world. So it's completely different. So I don't really understand why he wouldn't try and do something different and actually abide by, state regulations or whatever on how to fix all this.
I don't know, man. It's just I heard like SmackDown was changed on the fly because of like everything that happened. And it shows because SmackDown was like what the we had the Boneyard match.
All Undertaker recap stuff. It was all like a tribute. The whole show was a tribute to Undertaker. It was weird. It didn't make any sense. Like Jeff Hardy was like, that was my mentor. And then they made it like as the story to what the main event of SmackDown was. And that one didn't feel like a main event at all.
Hey, Corey, your shadow is really weird.
back there.
Your reflection isn't moving. It's very strange.
Oh, that's the reflection. That's the reflection of Carly. She's next to me.
I know. Hey, reflection. How's it going?
But yeah,
it's just funny. You're moving around, and like the reflection behind you just isn't moving. It's very funny.
I thought it was really weird to use Jeff Hardy as like, oh, the Undertaker was my mentor. Like, really? You had a great match with him how many years ago that like put Jeff Hardy really on his solo career, but like to say everything was just stretched and wasn't good. And then Braun Strowman laughing for like 30 seconds with Bray Wyatt was one of the weirdest things I've ever watched.
It felt like if we hadn't seen it already, this was the overexposure of Braun Strowman that we didn't need.
Yes.
Like for sure he should be speaking in sentences and that's it. One sentence, don't write a whole paragraph or two pages worth of dialogue for him to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
go ahead, Rick.
It never. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Rick. Go.
Sorry. It never works out when you have a big man that's speaking for himself. Like it worked. Andre the Giant worked really well when he was with Bobby the Brain Heenan. and Ed Heenan's speaking form, because Andre couldn't really, especially with his accent, couldn't really formulate sentences very well and cut a really long promo. Big Show kind of got away with it, but other than that, like, look at, like, Great Khali, like, that didn't really work. Even Undertaker, when he first started, he had, you know, he had Paul Bearer doing all his promos for him, and he would just come in with, like, a rest in peace at the end.
I think at first it was Brother Love at first.
Yeah.
My whole thing is it was definitely scripted, and then you're going to give a wrestler, like, that was, like, a lot of dialogue that he had to memorize and talk on, and it just came over, like, I don't know, kind of clunky, and
it was corny. It was very corny, I have to say. He was like, well, Bray Wyatt, there was a snake came up and it was biting him on his face, and it just kept biting him on his face, and he was just laughing at it. And he was like, wow, this guy's not even getting poisoned by the snake or being hurt by the snake. He's laughing right in the snake's face. I was going to stop, and he said, wait, that's my friend. Let it bite me in my face a couple million times. It was all stupid.
He did say face like 8 million times. Yeah, and that's when I knew he was evil.
And then it's like, I liked every minute of it. You know, I didn't like it though. I'm trying to not like it. But I like it.
Yeah.
It's they do that thing every once in a while where it's, you know, Undertaker was famous for that when he was like, he had the whole big red devil thing. It's like, me and Kane were riding through the desert, and we came across a python, and that python ran the other way because he knew it was my yard, and all that. They do stuff like that every once in a while, and it's always
ridiculously made up stories. It definitely sounds like it definitely sounds like a Ultimate Warrior rant.
If he shook the ropes, it would have just made it better. That's all. Right. I would appreciate it more.
Can I talk to Braun Strowman here personally for a moment? If you're paying attention, Braun Strowman, reach out to Bosley Hair Center and see if you can get ahead of this hair loss that you're going through.
Just shave your head. Just shave it. Be a man. Shave your head.
Hang on to it for as long as you can, Strowman. I'm on your side.
Hey, man, I have a full head of hair. I just shaved because I have no barber, and I don't even know if my barber's coming back, because my best friend Ed, who used to do the podcast with me, he's been contacting this. We had the same barber. He's been contacting him for weeks and he hasn't even answered. So we don't even know if he closed up and just left or what. So I'll shave my head for another week or two until like barbers are fully like going.
Yeah. It's pain in the ass. I know. I definitely need a haircut as well. Yeah. Corey hasn't had a haircut before. or anything like that. So Corey's doing well.
I got quoted, and a tweet went out from Carly saying, it said, I've had long hair since the Clinton administration, and had quotes on it. And it said, Corey Castle quoted me.
Nice.
I've been having long hair since the Clinton administration.
Yeah.
no haircuts.
So the whole Strowman thing, I think, was just a, you know, it was just a setup for the they're having a swamp match,
cinematic. I guess this one's gonna be cinematic, like the last two. But from what I hear, that Bray Wyatt's getting a lot of input into the actual match, so this could be a good match.
What if it's just like the Sister Abigail's House match that they did with Randy Orton all over again? Like,
God,
could be
really hope not. That was awful.
Like, well, like, have it be like play the house, like the fire burning the house, but then put it in reverse so it's not burning, like, and then have the match.
It just sucks it all back in, so it's just you know, now it's a complete house again. We can have another match.
Well, We didn't know that COVID was going to shut everything down, and we were going to have cinematic matches. So we burned it down preemptively.
Yeah. Did you hear the whole? I don't even know who it was. Somebody sent in an anonymous letter stating everything that happened with COVID and people, the people who tested positive for COVID aren't being allowed to speak out about it in WWE.
I don't get this. I don't get what is going on. Like, I mean, it's obviously an issue. Vince forced everybody to go back, keep working. He didn't even do real tests. And then he started inviting family members to show up and be part of the audience. You know, and then he ends up spreading it to more than 24 employees.
Yeah.
I don't get what's going on. I don't. And now there's rumors that like people can't even say that they have it. It's ridiculous. It's just stop. Like Vin, you go ahead, man.
With all that information and all the speaking out I don't know what's going to happen to wrestling. Wrestling might just go away. Like, we might not have wrestling ever again. This is just going to end it all.
I mean, it's a very real possibility. It's really messed up the way that they're handling everything. They're starting to crack down on the whole speaking out thing. Who was it? There was somebody just got fired. I forget who it was.
Tyler Bates or something.
It was Tyler Bates?
Yeah.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Not Tyler. Travis Banks. Travis Banks.
Oh, Travis Banks. I was gonna say, please tell me Tyler Bates.
What's the difference? It's some jobby name that they just throw on some nerd. Your name's Rexon Jax. Go out there, do it. Like, they just have some like name generator wheel that they spin and go, this sounds like a douchey millennial. Throw them out there.
Rexon Jax is now he's going to be the new Cruiserweight champion by next week.
Rexon Jax is the new Cruiserweight champion. Taking over the world.
Let me read this letter. It's a bit lengthy, but it's got some points to it that will just make your head explode. This was sent in to Wrestling.
Hold on your hats, folks.
Hold on. Yeah. This was sent in to WrestlingInc.com. It says anonymous WWE talent on not being allowed to speak out about positive COVID-19 results. Where are we at here? Okay, so now that WWE has more talent and staffers starting to test positive, we've been informed by talent relations not to discuss our illness with anyone besides those we may live with that may need to know. We are forbidden to tell anyone else, nor can we come out publicly to make any statements. It was stressed that WWE will take care of any medical treatments should we need them. In the same breath, it was made clear the company would handle PR and only those that needed to know about our condition would know, as HIPAA laws would prevent them from making our names public. While I appreciate the WWE's assistance helping those of us during these unprecedented times, WWE put us in this position in the first place. They continue to tape multiple shows a day that averaging 10 to 12 hours plus for at least 2, sometimes 3 days in a row. Those in the audience are kept in air-conditioned tents away from the active talent and staff that are housed in other sets of tents on PC property. Most people were not tested until last week, as we were told they didn't believe that the validity of some of the testing being done. They figured they would have their own so-called testing, which included temperature checks and a medical evaluation form, but no testing for COVID-19. And look at what that got them now. Some people were asked to invite friends, family members, and some fans they've befriended to attend shows at the PC. How do you think they feel now, knowing potentially they put those regarded as close to them in harm's way? And yes, it was true that Kevin Dunn did not allow fans to wear masks and made a scene twice over the PA not to wear masks. It's a shame these people came out to support the talent and company they loved and were treated this way. I mean, this is like, this is harsh. Like, this is really, really harsh. It's horrible. Like, first of all, they shouldn't be allowing these people that they're bringing in to bring in other people on top of that. And then to say that you're not allowed to wear masks and F social distancing and all that other stuff. Like, that's crazy.
I don't even know what to say over this. Like I said, I don't know what's going on with WWE. Like, they are this weird company that is literally doing the same BS a company that failed in 2001 did. And they're just repeating all the sins of the past. Like, they constantly try to cover up stuff. They constantly tell their talent to shut up and not say anything. And then they're getting their talent sick on top of employees that, like, work behind the scenes sick. It's dumb. It's unnecessary. A lot of us have been saying, like, we didn't need these shows. You know, because
wrestling itself could have took a break. And
it could have. And I think it would have been better, because now look what's going on. Like, in, you know, this Speak Out thing, like, WWE UK is closed. That's done. They're trying to figure out how they're going to disperse the talent that wasn't a bunch of scumbags, because apparently the UK scene, those guys are a mess.
Yeah.
So
that's it turned from NXT UK to NXT UK.
So bad.
Yeah.
and it sucks, because you want to talk about, like, some kind of positive, because, you know, with everything going on, you want to hear something positive.
S-U-C-K, take the C out of sucks, and UK is right in there. I don't know. Come on. You get it.
That's right. well,
I recognized and appreciated the. Actually, I recognized it, didn't appreciate it, but continue.
The well's dry. You're just pulling up rocks now with that pail. You just, there's nothing in there.
It's fool's gold coming up.
You're just hammering it in. You're just like, yeah, I said that joke before, but I don't think it got over and again. Hang on a second. There we go. Now it's nice and hammered.
It's a classic over tagging.
Yeah, I don't know. I did notice that they're the fans in the crowd are wearing masks now on SmackDown. At least some of them are.
Too late.
It is too late. Yeah, it's starting to get to the way it should be. Like, they're starting to test now, but it never should have gotten this far in the first place. It's completely unnecessary, especially to do it. Like, it shouldn't have been done at all, but to do it, like, unprotected and like, unsafe, like,
the effort, it doesn't make any sense. A little too late. Yeah.
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 Well, speaking of horrible news stories, Tessa Blanchard's been fired from Impact Wrestling. This just happened this past week. She's been stripped of the Impact Wrestling Heavyweight Championship. Apparently, her contract was due up anyway. They were going to start writing her out of the show. She's been staying at home, but they've been asking her to bring in some to send in some promos and stuff like that, and she just hasn't been responding at all. So they just released a statement and said, "You know what? We don't need you. We're stripping you of the title."
That's it. Are you saying this is terrible news?
I mean,
well, we're
for we're, Impact, I guess. Tessa Blanchard, it's pretty bad news.
We're also seeing that it's Impact and nobody was watching, so Tessa probably just realized it's not even worth going on there. Well, like, she's in a lot of trouble. She's in a lot of trouble for a lot of gross stuff that she said a while
she's
back.
She's got a lot of heat these days anyway. Like,
and
unapologetically too. It's strange.
Yeah, that was weird. Like, she got accused of all this stuff, and then it just didn't
She took the Shaggy defense. It wasn't me.
Yeah.
It wasn't me. A lot of people are witness to it, and she's like, "Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know what you're talking about."
Yeah. No, I don't know. Some other girl. Some other girl looks just like me. Must have been.
So really, it's a really big loss for TNA to have an albatross like that around her neck. Might as well just unload her. Like, don't worry about it. Like, they should have just made up something and just took the belt, stripped the belt earlier. And just, I don't know why they held on to her after all those statements. And like you said, there was no comment, but it wasn't me. She didn't explain any situation or anything. She just, nope, didn't do it.
They caught her banging on the bathroom floor. I mean, come on.
It's also, you know, they put out all these allegations came out like a week before she was supposed to get the title, and they went through with it anyway. So maybe it was something like, well, you know, this all happened, and yes, she's denying it, but she's not really denying it, and we put the belt on her anyway. So that makes us look like idiots if we all of a sudden say, oh, well, we believe them now, and then they take the belt off. You know what I mean? Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I guess I get that it's foggy. Yeah, for sure. But like these kind of things don't come from nowhere. So like a lot of people saying stuff, and it's like, it's really like, you got to watch what kind of hypocrite you are when it comes to having a voice, you know?
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, good luck with Tessa Blanchard and whatever she's doing. She's not going to the Indies anytime soon. Nobody's running.
Well, I really think that, you know, I haven't caught up with NWA Power. I don't really see what they're doing, but, you know, AEW's doing good. Like, I think all the companies that seem like they're doing pretty good should like team up and like save wrestling. WWE should just take a break, like complete break. Just stop doing everything.
I believe that. I believe that fully. Like, I just think, I don't know what is going on, but Vince's obsession with being on television, and we all know his history where he doesn't believe, he thinks sickness is a weakness. You can't sneeze in the office, all those jokes they said over the years. And now this COVID thing, and I don't think he believes it's real. I don't think he believes that it's as dire as it can be. Right. I mean, like I said, I had a mild case of it in March, but like some people, you know, people are dying from this. Like it's not a joke.
Yeah.
And now you're looking at multiple states dialing back because now they thought they had it under control and they opened up everything, and now they're getting cases like blowing up in multiple states.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bucks County, where I live, just went green. I think they opened up some gyms and stuff. I haven't gone back yet, and there's a good chance I won't. I miss it. I miss it incredibly, but I will miss being alive if I continue to go. I don't want to be sick,
right?
Or, you know, yeah. I especially don't want to like get the people that I care about sick.
Yeah. You see it all over the place. Like I don't know if all of Philadelphia is about to go green or if it's just
they're talking about Dallas back.
They're talking about going back. All right,
you're supposed to go green July 3rd, and there's a rumor that there's a rumor it might be stalled. But so far, they're trying to keep the July 3rd date because I think what it is I think Philly understands that once July 4th hits, they just can't stop anybody after that. Like, I think people are just going to do what they want to do.
So, well, people are still, like, there's still cases coming in from Memorial Day when everybody just went out and said to hell with it and just did whatever they want anyway. So there's cases of that showing up now. So after July 4th, I gotta imagine it'll be the same thing.
Yep.
But you see it now. You see, like, people, like, you go out to a grocery store, to Wawa or whatever, and there's people that are wearing masks and they're keeping their 6 feet apart, standing in line. But there's also, like, mostly older people who are just not wearing masks and they're standing right beside you, sometimes right next to you in line, and they don't care. They don't get it. They don't believe in it somehow. Right. Like, it's all some kind of conspiracy.
Right. Those people will expire soon.
Well, yeah, maybe sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
We got one more weird news here. I guess it's bad.
What was that?
Weird news.
Do you have a little
when they were still around?
What is it?
Was that Preston and Steve? Like when they were still around? Someone used to do weird news, and I can't remember who it was.
Well, it's ours now. Rick, you got to make a little sting for it so you can hit the button that says, weird news.
It's mostly just bad news. I just didn't feel like calling it weird news. Want to be, because we've been pretty much a downer since we started talking about, you know, and everything else going on.
I do want to talk about some of the really good stuff I saw this week, but you know, let's get to the weirdest stuff, get that out of the way, and then we'll get into the better things, and then we'll close on a hot dog and a handshake, folks.
Hot dog and a handshake. $2.99. Yeah, man. One little piece of bad news is that Sammy Guevara got suspended from AEW. I don't know if you guys heard about
that. No, I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, he's there was some podcast that came out from 2016 that said Sammy Guevara was on. He was talking some really bad things about Sasha Banks, of all people. I don't know how they know each other even, but you know, I don't know what was said exactly, but it was very sexual. It was very lewd. It was really anti-feminism, you know, a lot of like anti-woman-ish. Let's put it that way.
Can you say something without saying what he was saying?
I don't know exactly what was said. It was, I just heard that it was like really bad towards women. A lot of the words that women don't necessarily like to hear, and a lot of it was sexual in nature as well.
Okay, so he was like dehumanizing her,
basically.
Objectifying
her. This is not really the age for that. I mean, 2016. Look, dude, he's a young guy. I mean, 2016, he was probably
19 years old.
He was probably 18, 19. Yeah, exactly. He was just a child, probably a dumb kid. She came through the New England Indies. I mean, that she was probably way before this time because she's my age. So I mean, they might know a lot of the same people, and I know for a while she was like visiting Red School, and like before pay-per-view, she'd always go and train with like indie guys, like at their schools and stuff. So they might have ran into each other somewhere along the lines in that, but I didn't know. I mean,
from what I heard, they had a conversation. He or Sasha reached out to the other, I'm not sure. And they had a conversation. From what I heard, Sasha said everything was good. So as long as Sasha's cool with it, I don't understand the suspension. I think it's just AEW saving face for a while, but I mean, like I said, it all depends on Sasha. Sasha's not happy with it, and she doesn't, you know, if she's not cool with what was said, then it needs to be taken care of. But from what I heard, they had a conversation and she said everything was fine. So
yeah,
I don't know. And then hopefully Sammy's gonna be if everything's good with whatever happens now after the suspension. He's going to be a big star, so hopefully he learns from what he said and everything gets fixed. Because like we said, he was like 18, 19 when he said it. And I couldn't imagine some of the stuff that was coming out of my mouth at 18, 19 years old. You know,
Yeah, like when we were that age, it was like long before like the Me Too movement, and you know, it was the heydays of, you know, Howard Stern and
Opie and Anthony and all those guys. Yeah.
Oh my god. Yeah. I know I was a big piece of garbage back then. So
yeah, dude, we all were.
Yeah.
Well, like even like this was like before things were on the record when we were that age. I mean, I'm not the same age as you guys, but come on. I mean, I know I'm saying like there wasn't YouTube when we were that age. There wasn't podcasts. There wasn't social media. There wasn't everything lived on the record like there is now. So, you know, we got to make our mistakes and didn't, you know, and we paid our consequences through learning our lessons in real time.
Yeah.
And that's something, you know, that's something that is missed out on these days, I'm sure.
I think, Mark, what you were saying, it's like, I think it's just AEW trying to save face at this point. They're not, from what I'm hearing, they're not doing too well in the ratings. Like the last couple of weeks, they took like a big nosedive. And there was a lot of talk about everything that's happening with COVID spreading around, that they were going to stop doing shows for a little while. But if they do that, then they're basically saying they might as well shut down because TNT won't have that. So
the whole thing is like, they only had a year under your belt, right? And this is what I was saying. This is what I was saying about WWE. Do video packages. Each episode, do a video package on, like, they have their big pay-per-view coming this Wednesday. Fighter Fest or whatever it is. Shut it down after that. Shut it down after that. And then do a video package on why we should care about Orange Cassidy. Do a package on why we should care about The Order. Do a package on – and just do that and show, like, highlight matches for a little while until this all blows over. And then bring the wrestlers back. Like,
yeah,
you can shut down and still provide content.
Right. Especially there should be like a day in the life of an AEW star. Like, make something like a movie. Make something neat. Like, have people understand where you came from, where you're going, and where you currently are. Because where you currently are is the same place everyone is. Nowhere.
Yeah. And my whole thing is look at WWE. You have Apollo Crews as a U.S. belt. Have they really made you care about Apollo? We all know he's a talent. He's really good, but they haven't done anything to make you care about him. Well, so instead of having a show and risking your employees and the wrestlers and the wrestlers' family and the employees' families, why don't you just do a video package on Apollo Crews and show us his matches in AEW and show us why we should actually care about this guy, and then go to the next wrestler that needs that work? You know, like, just do that.
I don't know if it's a something with like the contract between like USA and TNT where they needed to be like original live content every week. Do you think that might have something to do with it?
I don't know.
What? Sometimes, you know, what? I don't know. It's like, what if it's like shoot interviews where they just talk about wrestling? Like, it's only because the name of the show has wrestling in it. So USA and TNT probably need to have wrestling happening. But like, everybody understands that these are unprecedented times. And like,
I understand. I honestly think it's the networks are forcing a lot of them to do it because there's no sports on television. We have baseball, no baseball. We never got a basketball playoffs this year. No ice hockey playoffs, which is crazy because the Flyers are most likely going to be in the Stanley Cup this year.
Well, NASCAR's back.
But you don't need crowds for NASCAR. That's the great thing about NASCAR, even though I don't watch it.
Me either.
You don't need a crowd. So, you know,
Does a crowd really provide anything for NASCAR? Can you even hear a crowd over the cars and stuff like that?
You only hear them cheer at the end when all the cars like stop. You'll hear them cheering for whoever won. That's it.
Yeah, that can be filtered in. You don't need a live crowd for that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like drive around in a circle for a while. You'll get the same thing.
For a while, 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
So long. NASCAR is so long. I don't know. I don't know if it's the networks forcing them or it's Vince McMahon's "the show must go on" ego, which, you know, like, we've already seen how extreme he'll go with that with just Owen Hart. Like,
yeah,
he doesn't care. He has to continue the show no matter what. So I don't know if it's that or it's the networks. But as fans, we're saying we don't need it right now. And we rather it come back and everybody's safe and the product's better. You'd rather have it happen. So why wouldn't everybody be okay with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit the nail right on the head. I think it's Vince McMahon's ego. He wants to come back when we have a full crowd in the – he wants to be the first person to have a full crowd after all this is said and done. And he wants to say, yes, we did it. We survived the outbreak.
They can still keep saying the longest running episodic television. We didn't even take a break during COVID. Like, it's just for bragging rights. It's for stroking your ego.
And how much you want to bet when this is all over and they actually have the first live crowd, either he or his egomaniac daughter is going to be out on that stage bragging about how they went through the COVID and they continued their show and all for you, you know, and we didn't want it.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
It was like you force fed us matches that were happening at a school that we don't care about. All right, cool. We got to watch some mock training drills. Neat. Can we watch real wrestling now?
Yeah, right. I'd rather see Kevin Owens on TV than every time there's a spike and, you know, he lost a family member on top of it. But like every time there's a spike in COVID, he goes back off television. So you keep getting like there's certain wrestlers, him, Daniel Bryan, all these guys, they're sporadically on TV and it's just there's no continuation of storylines. They have to keep shuffling people. And I'm over the guys that keep using them because they're all the dudes that basically wouldn't be on TV anymore. I mean, that much,
right.
Because of other talent, but they are because nobody wants to step in the ring.
Well, like it's also the same way I feel about NXT, how NXT is just like another watered down USA brand now. And it sucks.
Yeah. Even that main event, which I was so excited to see, was not good.
Right. I just kind of skipped through most of it. Like I just wanted to see how it ends. I mean, I could have read how it ended online, but I felt like skipping through to see if there was cool spots that stood out.
I mean, it's good because Keith Lee won, so I think we're finally getting Keith Lee getting called up. But I just think it's the wrong time for Keith Lee to be called up. I think it's just going to be anticlimactic, and nobody's going to be watching anyway, and then Vince will blame it on him.
Well,
Nobody's watching wrestling. Nobody likes this guy, Keith Lee. It's like, no, because none of us are watching wrestling anyway.
It would be kind of neat. It would be kind of neat to see Keith Lee with MVP and Bobby Lashley and Apollo. And
I would love to see him come up and be like one of their guys. I would love that.
Yeah.
The main event of NXT wasn't great. But it did give us Keith Lee as a winner, and next week we are getting to see Keith Lee versus Adam Cole, which I think is going to be absolutely fantastic.
Can I say a thing real quick? This Karrion Kross, is that his name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just spun the name wheel, and that popped out.
Because they can't use the word killer.
Right. Either way. I don't see the hype. I mean, I don't get it. Is everybody else? And he just has a manager, and like he's overhyped in my book. I mean, as a fan, I'm not like that dude does it for me. Like there's like real personality.
I think his finisher is not the right thing for a guy. They're pushing him. He's this unstoppable murderer and all
the people doing cast missions.
Yeah, you put him in a sleeper hold, that's your devastating move in the end when you're like destroying wrestlers. Like
yeah, that's like a desperate small guy move. Not a killer. Oh, I'm sorry, a Karrion, whatever. it's not for like his finisher should be like he puts a pillow down and like smothers you with it or something.
Uh-oh.
What's the move called? Shush, grandma.
Go to your happy place.
Just a pillow over the face.
Move's called "I'll Be Over Soon."
It's called the Tracy Smothers.
Oh man.
Go to sleep, grandma. Yeah, do you think that at some point somebody was like, yeah, I get that we can't call him killer, but what the hell is a Karrion? Like, that's not a name.
Right.
That's not a name.
Neither is Rexon, whatever the name we've just made up. We just made up a name, Rexon. It's just they make up names.
Karrion is another word for, like, dead materials. So, like, whenever you hear an animal is like a carrion feeder, that means they eat dead animals. So to hear a name like Karrion just makes it just sounds ominous and it's just gross. It's just a gross name. Like
I don't know.
Well, we're gonna have Keith Lee. We're gonna have Keith Lee versus Adam Cole, and
yeah,
hopefully they give them like 25, 30 minutes because this, you know, that show's too long anymore, and I'd rather watch them wrestle than half the storylines.
Is that what's going against Fyter Fest?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're calling it.
They're doing the Great American Bash.
Yeah, they're calling it the Great American Bash.
Yeah, man, it's I mean, it's just like a smack in the face for Cody and everybody at AEW.
But that they're doing a two-night event. That's the gross. That's the gross stuff we're talking about WWE and how gross they are anymore. This is like
it's counter programming.
It's very petty.
Yeah,
it's all right. The AEW's putting on a show, and you're going to put on a show calling it the Great American Bash, which we all know his dad, you know, pretty much invented that.
Right.
And you're just rubbing it in this dude's face. It's just WWE is very petty, and it's just sad anymore. It's really sad. And I'm looking more forward to seeing Jericho versus Orange Cassidy anyway. I think that match is going to be really fun.
Yeah. I got both the cards here. I'll run them down for both. I'll start with AEW. Night one, which is starting July 1st. MJF and Wardlow versus Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus. If you saw AEW this week, you saw Luchasaurus versus Wardlow in that Lumberjack match. And that was
Wardlow's
fantastic.
Had like three matches now.
Yeah.
Luchasaurus is the real deal, though, man. That guy can wrestle.
Yeah, yeah, that dude wears his ass.
It's damn good. We got Private Party with Matt Hardy versus Santana and Ortiz. We got Hikaru Shida versus Penelope Ford for the women's title. Cody versus Jake Hager for the TNT championship.
Really good match.
Hangman Page. What's that?
That could be a really good match.
That could be a good match.
If Hager brings his A game.
Yeah, it's all depends on what Hager shows up.
If he has a boner of emotions.
Rock hard right now. He's rock hard.
That's what it is. Rock hard with emotion. Whatever.
And then you had who was it? Hangman Page and Kenny Omega versus the Best Friends for the tag team titles, and that's just night one. And then you go over to night two, which is July 8th, and you have Nyla Rose and some match that didn't get announced yet. SCU versus the Dark Order. Lance Archer versus Joey Janela, FTR and the Young Bucks versus the Butcher, the Blade, Phoenix, and Pentagon Jr.
That could be really good.
Chris Jericho, that's going to be really good. I'm digging the FTR, man. Like, they're so much better in AEW.
Yeah, I want to see FTR just straight up against the Lucha Brothers. I think they because the meshing styles could be really, really cool.
Mm-hmm. I think FTR and the Young Bucks is the match everybody's waiting for.
Everybody's been waiting for that for a long time. So hopefully,
wait till you have a live crowd. That's a money match. That's a big money match.
Yeah,
for wrestling,
you got to wait for a live crowd. And then you have Jericho and Orange Cassidy, which you mentioned, and then Moxley and Brian Cage for the world championship.
Depending if he's quarantined long enough.
Yeah, I was about to say, I was like, maybe that's why they're waiting the 3 weeks just to have the last match of the last night, you know. Hopefully, he'll be through with, you know, be back in the building at least.
And the interesting thing about the SCU versus the Dark Order, do you see Colt Cabana coming out with the Dark Order and wrestling for him?
Ooh.
Because they did let him pin someone this week, and it showed how happy he was when he pinned somebody. So I'm wondering.
Yeah.
And this should be, if they do a long term, this could be a good storyline because Colt Cabana is good enough to carry that storyline. So
I think Colt Cabana is teaming with the Dark Order. I think it's all of SCU versus Brody Lee, Grayson, and Colt Cabana.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. That's what's reported anyway. I'm not sure if that's true or not. You know, I'm going by that saying.
On AEW Dark, they've been teaming Sonny Kiss with Joey Janela, and I think they just did something with Cody. I'm sorry, with
Cabana.
Colt Cabana, yeah, like last week or something. I just saw it on Sonny's Instagram.
Nice. Not watching the show. Just going to flip through Instagram, see what happens.
Yeah, I'm a true fan.
Yeah. And then on the other side of the card, July 1st, we got NXT with the Great American Bash. And I have a card here somewhere. That's crazy that they're doing the Great American Bash, but whatever. They tried this a couple of weeks ago or a couple of years ago, and it didn't work. And then they ended up calling the Bash, and that was worse. But
it would be funny if they called if AEW had something out and they called it the Bash Wilder because they have the FTR.
That's awful. So they're gonna have the first ever NXT strap match because it's got to be first ever. With Roderick Strong versus Dexter Lumis, so they're finally having that match.
That'll be that Roderick can't run away now because he's afraid of him.
Yeah,
I felt like that was so dumb. I mean, he's been like breaking people's backs for years and like slapping the shit out of people and like throwing knees at people, and now he's like, oh, some guy with the haircut of Brad Pitt from Fury comes out and gloves, and you have to run from him? I don't get it. Okay, sure.
I think Roddy's doing the best with the – it's not a good storyline, but I think Roddy's doing the best he can with the storyline.
Probably, yeah, probably. But it's like you're suspending disbelief so much to go, okay, this guy's a tough guy. This guy's a tough guy, but he's afraid of this other guy who hasn't actually proven he's a tough guy. He just shows that he's a scary guy.
Yeah.
A tough guy versus a scary guy. It's all part of the show. I get that. But it's kind of like throwing Roddy's legitimacy into question for like your average fan probably.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. It's kind of along the same lines that they did with Undertaker and Randy Orton back when they worked at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. Orton was just like, I'm going to out-wrestle you, and there's nothing you can do about it. And Undertaker was throwing all this stuff at him with possessing people and you know, like eyeballs rolling back in his head. I think he possessed Josh Matthews at one point to scare Randy Orton. So I mean, it's like, you know, it's just one of those things. But it's... You know, there's no supernatural element here. He's just scared that he's going to get destroyed. And it's not a bad angle, I don't think. It's not a good angle either, but it'll, you know, I think Roddy's doing a great job.
That's what I mean. I think Roddy and the rest of the Undisputed Era that's being playing the supporting cast is doing the best with a bad storyline. Those guys are fun. The problem is they're playing the cool heels, but they're fun. And when the four of them are together, the storyline's fun. But then once Roddy gets out in the ring, Dexter Lumis is there, and he's doing the whole Mike Myers thing where he shows no emotions the whole time. It kind of gets boring, man. It kind of does.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like there's no evidence of anything to be scared of.
Yeah,
like there's got to be an element added to Dexter. Dexter Lumis is a cool character. Yeah. But there's got to be something added to it to make it scary, besides the fact that it just seems scary.
And the other thing, too, is we were just talking about Karrion Kross. Dexter Lumis is using the Anaconda Vice. So now you have two guys doing sleeper holds, basically. Because the Anaconda Vice is basically another chokehold. And it's like, okay, you have these two guys that are big tattooed dudes just like just choking people out. Neither one of them has a devastating finisher to like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't get that. One of them needs like some kind of big, like an F5 or like a you know, some friggin', you know, tiger bomb or other.
Bring the power bomb. Yeah. You can still use a power bomb, and as long as people don't kick out, it'll make the power bomb like a devastating move again. And both those guys are big enough looking where they could do a power bomb, and it would look cool.
Yeah.
Especially Lumis, because Lumis can just lay over top him after he power bombs with the blank eyes. Like, but you know, whatever. You know, let's choke everybody out. Or, you know, roll them up or choke them.
Yeah, that's all you got.
Dexter Lumis could do some sort of ether or something.
Just take a rag over the face.
Yeah. He has those gloves. He could just grab one and have it soaking in ether and just throw it over somebody.
That actually would be funny if he like pulled it out from under the ring and did that and then came back in the ring, put his That would actually be fun.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll watch that. So yeah, that match is happening in night one. They got a 2-on-1 mixed action handicap match, which is the longest name for a match I've ever heard.
Mixed action. With Alita.
It's a 2-on-1 mixed action handicap match. So it's
too wordy.
Yeah, it's intergender handicap match with Aaliyah and Robert Stone versus Rhea Ripley, and Ripley will join the Robert Stone brand if she loses.
Well, like. This is going to be the first time anyone's seen him wrestle since TNA when he was Robbie E.
Yeah.
So
now he's just teaming with a girl and seeing if he can get another girl to join his faction.
He's going to beat on a girl.
So you have that match. You have Fatal 4-Way. What?
Instead of doing a Pauly D impression like he was doing in TNA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have a fatal four-way for the number one contendership for the women's championship with Tegan Nox, Dakota Kai, Candice LeRae, and Mia Yim. These all look like great matches, but nothing jumps out as a main event for the first night. You know what I mean? I mean, like, Loomis could be, but I mean that still feels like kind of mid-cardish.
Yeah.
Wait, we're doing two nights also?
Oh yeah.
This is so petty.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. It's like we're gonna go two nights and we're gonna call it the Great American Bash. You might as well just call it F Dusty Rhodes. Oh Jesus Christ. The second night, I don't know if they actually posted any matches, but I know that they're finishing it off with Keith Lee and Adam Cole for that winner-take-all match. Yeah, that's the only match they have listed for night two, unless that's going to go
an hour and a half long.
The fact that they're also doing two nights is so stupid. I hate it, and I feel like it's like a snake that eats its own tail kind of thing. It's really. Not only that,
it's not like a pay-per-view would split two nights and it's like Saturday, Sunday. We're looking at one like Wednesday and then the next Wednesday. That's not how this works.
No.
Like our tapings are gonna go straight head to head up with your tapings. It's gonna be pre-taped stuff. It's not gonna come out next week, but it's gonna counter program next week's program.
How much time do we have left? I forgot to ask Rick this. How do you feel that they just moved your girl Nia onto Charlotte Flair? So they're gonna have Charlotte Flair try to beat a match out of this chick.
I mean, how much you want to do it?
How much you want to bet in 2 weeks Charlotte Flair's on the shelf?
Jesus Christ. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. I actually heard a rumor that she's on the shelf, but I think it's part of the storyline that like Nia put her out
because she closed a dumpster on her arm.
Is that what it is?
They're taking jumped her backstage and like threw a dumpster lid down on her arm or something.
Yeah.
After like Asuka and her had a pretty good match. Like Asuka and it had really good psychology. It was a good match.
I thought it was a damn good match.
Then like I mean earlier in the show Nia Jax and Charlotte did like a little promo exchange and Nia brought up, she was like, oh, you're Ric Flair's daughter, blah, 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 because of daddy. And then Charlotte Flair was like, oh, you want to talk about families, huh? Somebody hold this rope open for me. Like, she didn't go, oh yeah, you're The Rock's cousin. That's why you're here. You dingbat. Like,
yeah, I know. That drove me effing nuts. And I'm like, she's really like whose idea was that she's gonna go out there and only here because you're Ric Flair's daughter. It's like Nia Jax is only here because she's related to every Samoan ever.
Nia's original name wasn't Nia Jax in WWE. They were gonna call her Nepotism Jax.
You know, somewhere Samoa Joe's just happy he's not related to that whole family every time he gets in the ring.
He's just like, oh my god, I dodged such a bullet.
Oh, for years, God. I wanted to be related to The Rock, and now, no, I'm good. I'm great.
Man. Yeah. Not too happy with the Nia Jax thing. But, yeah, we're about that time, I'd say, since we're talking about great wrestling and awful wrestling. I think it's time to ask the question, who wins wrestling?
Who wins wrestling? Blah, 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 blah.
Corey, you want to go first? You watched a lot of wrestling this week.
Yeah, I'm going to say Edge, dude. Edge's promo was sick. I thought he did a good job. I'm going to say the fact that he said in a promo, you're going to wish that Cowboy Bob was shooting blanks the day you were conceived, is the line of the week for me.
That was hilarious.
Yeah. But it had such emotion, and it was not scripted. And
yeah,
I really dug that, and I was like, Edge was like, dude, you're taking me to a place that I didn't think I was ever gonna have to go to again, and mm-hmm. I dug it, and it should be like that.
Mm-hmm.
Where yeah. Edge is almost like, oh, you hear voices in your head. Well, I also hear voices in my head. I'm also crazy. Like it was like a weird little street war.
Yeah, I think Edge is very underrated when it comes to promos. Like, and these sit down promos with no crowd, he is just killing it. He's killing it. He just knows how to make it sound intimidating. He knows how to make it sound like he's totally invested in everything he's saying with nobody cheering at all. And that's a skill, man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's probably been practicing his promos for 9 years, not knowing he'd have to use them all this much.
Like yanking his hair in the mirror, just like, oh, that rain. It's like one of these days.
But I love the passion in the stuff he said about, you know, he's like, Jay's been my friend, my best friend for 36 years. Like that, all that felt so real and felt so good. And I would if I was just a fan, I would have really appreciated that, and probably would have bought, you know, bit right into the. Into the bait right there on the angle.
Yeah, man.
But then I think Randy Orton having more promos and more segments on the show kind of pulled away from that promo. But I think Edge did a good enough job that it didn't ruin it too much.
I liked both sets of promos. I liked the thing Orton did with Big Show with Flair out there. I thought that was really good.
Yeah, I thought it was really good too, but I felt like it was not. It was like, oh, I'm gonna not focus on Edge to focus on show here for a minute. It didn't feel as on brand as Edge's promo was. You know, like as on target, as on focus on what the angle actually was.
Yeah, I think they just needed to go in that direction because Edge is gonna be off TV for a while. So now, I guess Orton's gonna take out show because he's a legend, and then we'll see where it goes from there.
I was expecting him to RKO Ric Flair. Really, really. That was what I thought was going to happen.
I'm hoping that's the last one. I'm hoping like he turns around and says that he's like wiped out all the legends and Flair standing in a ring with him. And I'm hoping he wipes out Flair. Because that would show how evil he really is.
Well, it would be funny if they started up an angle backstage where like Ric Flair was trying to set Randy Orton up with Charlotte. She's like, ah, she's a winner. And Randy's like, dude, I'm married though. What are you talking about?
I was like, I don't know. Just get her away from the other one. Mark,
what we just talked about, I think Asuka and Charlotte Flair was probably one of the more solid matches all week. And I have to go with Asuka. Like, one of the things in her career that she needed and they never gave her is she needed to beat Charlotte Flair. And not only did she beat Charlotte Flair, she tapped her out. And I think for her career, that was a huge thing. And it looks like they're gonna go with Asuka being the title holder for a minute. So I'm kind of happy with that. And, you know, it looks scary for a minute, like they're gonna take it off her and give it to Nia. But you know, I'm happy for that. Like, I think it solidifies now Asuka's probably top three best females in WWE. easily.
Yeah.
Right. And then they had the thing where she's going to challenge, or she's going to be challenged by Sasha Banks at Extreme Rules, so that her and Bayley can both be two belts.
Yeah.
I'm kind of excited for that. I want to see Asuka versus Sasha Banks.
Yeah. It's going to be a good match.
I think Sasha's been wasting her talent on SmackDown.
Yeah. Well, she's good.
Oh, I'm sorry. I always say, like, scrambles and tag teams will sometimes rob people of shining individually. Like I say, sometimes, like, putting me in a scrambly match or putting me in a tag match isn't getting all that I'm worth. You know what I mean? It isn't. It's really like you're wasting all this money on this match when you can be getting more money's worth for a smaller amount. I mean, that's all a bigger picture thing, but really it's like,
yeah,
it's a matter of getting lost in the shuffle where there's a light that shines that you can't dim.
So you're going to there's a light that shines that you can't dim. You're about to start breaking into Randy Orton's old theme song, aren't you?
Hey!
Nothing you can
Rick, who you going with? I didn't realize how late it is. I got to go to work. So who you going with?
I'll do it real quick. I'm just going with R-Truth because he was awesome this week. Coming down, accusing Nia Jax of being Tozawa in disguise, and then he had the match. I thought it was great. You know, the ninjas aside, I still love R-Truth. I think he's fantastic. He's
keeping it alive, man. You think I'm What's in the that? Mood to be okey-doked?
I enjoy it. And the funny thing is, who knew Tozawa is pretty funny? Tozawa is actually killed him being a dumb ninja. Like, as racist as it is, in typical Vince McMahon, it's actually kind of fun.
Yeah. And it's actually really funny. So I'm enjoying it. So if Tozawa's okay with it, why the hell should I have a problem with it? So I'm liking it. I'm thinking it's funny. All right, let's go before we get Mark fired. Let's start wrapping this thing up. Corey, real quick, do you have anything to plug?
Check out my other podcast, Evolving with Corey Castle. Available wherever you check out podcasts. My latest episode that's posted on Spotify and iTunes is with Monroe Martin from Comedy Central. We had a really good time. Sozio actually just quoted the episode on Twitter like a couple minutes ago. He said, Monroe asked me, he said, what's stopping you from moving to New York? And I said, money. And he said, rob somebody.
Okay.
So check out the episode. It's really fun. And check out my Pro Wrestling Tees store, prowrestlingtees.com/Corey Castle, and get some of that merch. And, you know, make sure if you're checking out Wrestle Rock and you're checking out Rick's YouTube page, make sure you subscribe so that you get every live episode while we're on. And, let us know how you feel. Comment below or leave us some feedback. Let us know you exist. Much love and gratitude. Be fun. Have safe. Wear your masks. Keep a distance. And all that jazz.
Okay. Real quick, go to my YouTube channel, tinyworld.com/YouTube, Rick Connor. That's CONNOR. That's where you can see all the stuff that we were just talking about through matches and Wrestle Rock and stuff like that. Check out our merchandise store, which is teespring.com/store/wrestle-rock. Pick up some Wrestle Rock merchandise and check out my other podcast that I do with Mark's sister, Karen. It's called It's Something to Do. Mark, do you have anything before we get out of here?
I'll be at work. Come visit me.
No. Mark's going to work. All right, so that'll be it for this episode of Wrestle Rock. I'm Rick Connor.
Mark Hollacker.
Corey Castle.
Let's take it out like we always do with Mr. Nick Burke.
It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday.
Join us again for another episode of Wrestle Rock. This has been Jay Davis speaking.